While I'm waiting for that to load, I want to acknowledge the research team that's here. Dr. Amy Thompson from the University of Toledo, Manuela Crawley, who is a graduate assistant for us at Kent State University, and Ms. Barb Clint, who is the visionary that put this grant and this project together for the city of Cleveland. First, I have to say I have no financial relationships to disclose, and other relationships I think I'll keep to myself. First of all, as you probably know, the Centers for Disease Control started racial and ethnic approaches to community health, and Cleveland was one of the cities that received an award to do that work, and specifically the YMCA of Greater Cleveland. Our project functions using, as many do, the social ecological model of health behavior. And here we see the model and some of the components of our project within the model. For example, in public policy, there's membership on the mayor's bike and pedestrian committee. We have Clevelanders in Motion, walking programs, many, many aspects to the model. We also have health and fitness screenings, and I'll talk about those a little bit in the presentation in a few minutes. So most of the focus is in the community and policy rings of the social ecological model, and this is a community-based participatory research project. We deliver the deliverables emerged from both the recommendations of the advisory committee and input from Cleveland residents. This presentation really involves focus groups that were done in the spring of 2010. We did these focus groups at neighborhood libraries. The poster that was used is here to try to entice people to come. Also, YMCA staff recruited people to come. They were held at libraries in the city, and on Broadway, the Carnegie West Library, Harvard Lee, and the Woodland Library. In doing this recruitment, we were able to have 42 participants. And we really provided what I think was an attractive incentive. There's a store chain in Cleveland called Dave's Grocery Stores, and we provided a $50 gift certificate to the store. So that really helped people to come in. We started out with our focus group with the question, what does it mean to be healthy? What does that mean to you? And these were some of the answers that we got. I think it was interesting that being part of a community was one of the top answers. I think that is typical in the African-American community, in particular that feeling of community, and that may be reflected there because of that cultural aspect. And how high of a priority do you feel health is to you, your friends, and your family? All felt it was the number one priority. And several people in the groups talked about when they were young, they didn't really care as much or seemed to care as much. And I think we could all relate to that about their health. But as they've aged, it's become a higher priority. There was also a lot of concern about children in the community. They said they were trying to be role models for children. They were concerned about their children learning about nutrition. Proper nutrition, in particular, a lot of comments about that. We asked what diseases and health problems they were most concerned about, and here is our list. Diabetes topped the charts as the number one concern. And some of the quotes from individuals in the group about those are here. Myself, my high blood pressure is off the hook. I take meds, but I guess I'm just doomed with it. I wake up every day thinking about it. Or my doctor tells me the possibility of heart attack or stroke due to high blood pressure. I'm concerned with high blood pressure and cholesterol, which can lead to stroke, so I watch my diet. So those were some things that were direct quotes from the participants. Also, cancer came up quite a bit. That's another leading cause of death. I would imagine it would. Colon cancer in particular, one gentleman was really concerned because three of his friends had colon cancer. And he said, as young people, we don't eat right at all, lots of salt and red meat, and I have three buddies with colon cancer now. It's an eye-opener for me. Also, mention of lung and breast cancer and leukemia. And they attributed cancer to the diet, the environment, and smoking in particular. Another quote, especially I think because of my HIV work, I found very interesting was a quote about AIDS. At one point, I was so promiscuous, I knew about AIDS, but I thought it wouldn't be me. Then I got a moment of clarity, and when I got tested and it was negative, I couldn't believe it. I still was like, are you sure? I just knew I had to be messed up, but I was granted mercy. I don't do certain things today. And this was from a gentleman in the group. Diabetes was mentioned at least 8 times, and you know, some concern here about people in my family are not overweight, but have high blood pressure and diabetes. It's confusing to me. I don't understand it. Or an older gentleman said, about 12 years ago, I had 5 bypass surgery and diabetes. Until then, I didn't know, and we were talking about his perceived risk. So he really had no idea of his risk until he was hospitalized. Obesity was mentioned in 3 out of the 4 groups. One woman said, I'm not overly concerned for myself because I try to do things like eat right and exercise, but I'm concerned about people in my family, not even teens yet, but are obese. And there was a lot of talk about fast foods and kind of latchkey situations, parents that were working, kids coming home. So then we asked, well, what activities or positive health behaviors do you do to keep you healthy? And these were some of the activities. Cycling, swimming, triathlon, walking, running, treadmill, weightlifting, yoga, basketball, walking the dog. And most reported exercising 2 to 3 days a week for at least 30 minutes. And as we know, if you're doing at least moderate activity, that's the recommendation. But the American College of Sports Medicine says you need to do 60 to 90 minutes to lose weight, and preferably 5 days a week rather than 3. Nutrition, including awareness of what you eat, eating more fruits and veggies, drinking more fluids, eating mini snacks, decreasing red meat consumption, and eating more salmon. These were things that people in the group said about nutrition. We have here cards that we gave out as part of the project, or the staff at the Y gave out, both at health screenings and at neighborhood walking groups. So the people really appreciated getting these healthy recipes. What activities or behaviors keep you healthy? Our group said keeping doctor's appointments. Sadly, some said that they could not afford to go to the doctor. One older gentleman kept talking about sanitizing and disinfecting things, and you know, said his uncle disinfected everything and wore a mask all the time. So he was like really kind of over the top with sanitation of things. Working around the house and the yard, and the importance of spirituality. Church meditation and prayer was mentioned quite a bit. Again, I think that's culturally a culturally appropriate practice, and that's probably why we heard that. Benefits, I think they came up with a lot of the major benefits of physical activity and healthy eating. keeping the blood pressure down and the heart healthy. They talked about endorphin release and the psychological benefits. I thought it was interesting that some people said you feel freer along with that. Interestingly, too, and this may be cultural, weight loss was mentioned in only one group. So that was kind of an interesting thing as a benefit to engaging in physical activity. There was an underlying just kind of air about unemployment in the area. So vocational benefits was one of the things that they talked about, not calling off work. Cleveland, like other major cities have in the whole U.S., are having problems with unemployment. Ohio is a big foreclosure state, one of the top foreclosure states. So people were concerned about jobs, and that was coming across in the focus groups. Some of the obstacles that the groups discussed, the lack of food, grocery stores, or healthy restaurants in the neighborhood. And, you know, all of the fast food establishments in the city, the McDonald's, the Kentucky Fried Chicken, the fast food restaurants at every corner, it seems. There's not a Whole Foods in these neighborhoods. And the corner stores selling junk food. And one thing that we asked them was, if the corner stores sold fruits and vegetables, would you buy them? And interestingly, they said no, because they'd probably be old. So I think the view of the corner stores is, you know, rundown store, and you can get, you know, pork rind snacks and cigarettes and alcohol, but you don't go there to get healthy food. Also, safety was an issue that was mentioned multiple times. Some people said they want to walk in their neighborhood, but they're afraid to do it alone. And even in the parks or the recreation centers in the cities, there have been problems, and the cops are always kicking people out for bad behavior, was one of the quotes there. One man said in the first focus group, when you walk in the morning, you might want to carry a weapon. You need protection. I've been robbed 4 times in less than a year. Others said they were afraid to walk in the morning. And some of the neighborhoods, a woman said she was, her neighborhood had an area where prostitutes were always on the street, and she was, propositioned when she tried to walk in her neighborhood. Other perceived obstacles, poverty, healthy foods cost too much, a lack of education, proper values. One woman talked about some of her friends would rather go out and buy shoes or purses or things like that than healthier foods for their family, and that people needed to set priorities. The resources that are there, walking, these are some of the walking cards, maps that were distributed as part of the program, and some of the programs in the city people were aware of. Again, they were worried about their children. The need for children's programming was expressed more than once. And would you participate in a walking program? When we asked them that, nearly all said that they would be interested. But they were concerned about some of the current venues, and about some of the venues actually had closed. I know in particular one of the Y's had closed in the area, and people talked about that. However, there are many recreation centers in Cleveland that are free, that people can go to, but sometimes they perceive those as unclean or unsafe as well. This real age is part of the body screening, the individual screenings that were done by staff at the Cleveland State University. And we did the real age, as we said, as seen on Oprah, the real age. And those of you that know me know I'm really excited because I'm going to be in her audience on Tuesday. So it's a long story, but So anyhow, the screenings went really well as far as pre-post. There were some great results. Some of the communication strategies, I'm going to kind of rush through these last few. These were some of the things that they thought we should do to get more press for the program. What kind of incentives did they want? They liked the cards that we did give them, but these were some of the other things that they brought up. Bring your dogs, it's for walking program. Offer CPR classes and babysitting. And again, that job thing comes out, offer employment guides, resume interviewing help. And at the end, you know, we asked any additional comments that you had. People volunteered to offer their time. They said, let's get fruits and vegetables and give them out to people. People need to volunteer. And there are some community gardens in the city. And the last quote that I think exemplifies the whole idea of community-based participatory research, hold these kinds of forums more often. We can even help each other and grow together. And I know that's what the Cleveland YMCA is doing with this project. And just an incidental at the end there, one participant had been screened and had to be rushed to the hospital and thanked us at the focus group, was already involved in the project. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Kerr. It's very important for us to really understand them intimately, to understand from their perspective the perceptions and the value.